We've been looking at this area in Ephesians 5 of the roles of the husband-wife, and then we're going to also look at the role of the child, or the relationship he's to have in the home. Very important teaching. And last time we discussed here the matter of what Ephesians 5 says about the area of submission, and that the husband is to be the head. It's been said that the husband is to be the head of the home, and the wife is to be the heart. Now, I want to read another scripture today in Titus 2, and we begin with verse 3, where it says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Now, the older women are encouraged to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Older women to teach younger women their role and their position in the home and in the family. In this passage, he says that they're to encourage younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. Now, it almost seems unnecessary, for example, to tell a mother to love her children. And yet, in the days in which we live, I think the tragedy is that we see more and more mothers who are giving up their children, who are deserting them, who are saying, I don't want them, and you're even seeing them divorcing their husbands, for example, and encouraging their husbands to take the children, saying, I don't want to be bothered. And the Bible says in the last days that people are going to be without natural affection. And this marks many women today, I'm afraid. They're so selfishly oriented in their thinking that they consider their own pleasure, their own freedom, above that of their children. But here the scripture emphasizes strongly what the woman's role is to be in marriage. He says, a worker at home, loving a husband, loving the wife, submissive to her own husband. Now, I know a lot of this goes very much against the current of the day in which we live. But, you know, I've sometimes told people this. I didn't write the Bible. I'm sure coming from the culture that I have grown up in, which I live today, I would not have written the Bible the way it's written. But all I am called on to do is to try to teach it and try to explain it. And either you have to accept the authority of God's Word in some of these areas, or else you become the judge and you say, well, I don't think that applies today. I don't think God's Word is relevant in this area. You may say, as some say, well, that was Paul's idea. And Paul was just the product of his generation. And he had been taught by the rabbis. And that was their teaching. And that was their thinking. But we live in a different age. And we are liberated from that. Well, you may do that if you wish. But let me suggest that if you reject Paul's teaching with regard to the home, and I say it's not only Paul's teaching, but he claimed to be led by the Holy Spirit in this. If you reject that, you may also later on wish to reject his teaching in other areas, and you become the judge as to what you will accept in the Bible and what you will reject. And no longer does the Word of God judge you, but you judge it. So here we're in the difficult position of living in an age where some of these ideas are being rejected. People's thinking concerning marriage is changing. Concerning the home is changing. Concerning the woman's role, so different. What are we to do? Are we to simply conform to our culture and conform to the world around us? Or are we to go back to the Word of God and say to the Lord, Lord, help me to conform to this, your Word, and to realize that you know best, and that your principles are eternal, and that the marriage relationship is to be basically the same today as it was 2,000 years ago, where the husband is to be the leader, the provider, and to show love to his wife and family, but the wife then has her distinctive role as well. Now, I want to just read a little quotation from a book by Theodore Beauvais, who was a Swiss marriage counselor, and he wrote a book called A Handbook of Marriage, and I want to read this section. He says, "What both husband and wife usually underestimate is the value and importance of being a housewife. The woman who succeeds in making her home a complete little world of its own has just as good a right to pride herself on it as the greatest statesman has on the way he rules his country. The atmosphere of a home is mainly determined by the wife, and to a large extent, the husband's success in his work depends on it. Even more does the children's adjustment to life. A child that has enjoyed a harmonious, peaceful home full of motherly love will never be defenseless in the face of evil. It has once and for all been given a sense of security." The American child psychologist Spitz says that in a certain district in Mexico, where the mothers carry their children about for a year on their bare backs, mental diseases seem to be quite unknown. He attributes this to the intimate contact between mother and child. A good home has exactly the same effect. Is any man's work of greater importance? And I think what Mr. Beauvais is saying is true, that the woman who is a good homemaker and a good mother is doing a work that is as great as any work done on the face of the earth. And she should not feel that somehow she is failing to fulfill herself or to develop or somehow to accomplish what she could in life, because all she does is have children and be a good mother, and have a home that is functioning in harmony and happiness. She should be very proud of the fact that she's doing this work, which no one else can do, and which is so vital in the lives of children. We knew of a woman who was divorced by her husband. He was a drunkard and left her and divorced her. And she had a couple of children to raise. And she went to work and she was struggling, doing the best she could, coming home late and trying to then care for the children, care for the house, make meals and all. And the scramble of life was just very hectic. And one day her little girl said to her, a little girl who'd been left with a babysitter for so many days now, she said to her, "Are you really my mother?" And it broke this woman's heart. And she said, "I'm going to have to spend time with her. I don't want her growing up wondering who her real mother is and wondering who it is that really loves her and cares for her." Now, in this woman's case, it was necessity that was driving her to work. But I think it's lamentable when many women and husbands as well may choose to remove the mother from the children during those formative years when they need the love, the training, the care that no one else can give them. No babysitter can give them the love that you can, mother. No babysitter can be a substitute for that personal bond and that personal attention. Now, sometimes work is necessary. There may be sickness, there may be problems that come in. But if you're working and you're leaving your children and you're leaving them with a babysitter simply to have a new car or simply to have more of the things of this life, then I'd suggest to you, you have a wrong sense of values. And you need to read again what the scripture says. And you need once again to value and to prize and to appreciate the importance, the tremendous importance of being a godly mother and a good homemaker. The great importance this has to God, to your husband, and to your children. Don't underestimate your importance as a mother and a homemaker. I think Mr. Beauvais is right. Now, when he speaks here of this area of obedience, he goes to the church and he says the church should be submissive to Christ in everything. A submissive church. Christ and the church. Christ loving the church being submissive to him. The husbands to love the wife as Christ loved the church. Wives are to be in submission to their husband and to respect them as the church should toward Christ. Now, sad to say, many times that isn't the attitude of the church, of Christians. We live in a day of great lawlessness, don't we? And we live in a day when many times the Word of God is ignored. Instead of being reverenced, instead of being obeyed, it's ignored. Or it is reinterpreted. That's a nice way to put that. Or we may say, well, it doesn't really apply today. That was a cultural thing only for the first century. But, you know, I think that Mr. Tozer hit it on the head when he said, what should seriously concern us, however, is not that the world praises Christ without obeying him, but that the church does. The men of this world go their way, careless of the teachings of Christ, but in doing so, they are consistent with our position. They have made no vows to the Lord nor taken his name upon them. But when a Christian ignores the commandment of Christ, he is guilty of sin doubly compounded. He violates holy vows, is guilty of rebellion against God, and commits the grotesque sin of calling Jesus Lord with his words and denying his lordship with his deeds. Should anyone doubt that Christians, even Bible Christians, habitually ignore the teachings of Christ, let him rise in a business meeting of his church or denomination and quote a passage from the sayings of our Lord as the final authority on a question before the house. He will soon learn how little the words of Christ influence the thinking of the average delegate. Obedience. The scripture says to obey is better than sacrifice. Oh, that today there were that spirit of reverence on the part of Christians for the Word of God. That spirit of submission. With Samuel, if only we could say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. May the Lord give us that spirit of submission to him and to his word.